Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will begin a new series called Your Anecdotal Census, a people's history of the New York City area from 2000 to 2010. Today, how your Manhattan community has changed in the last 10 years. We will go county by county, week by week, in our whole metro area in this series. Today, we start at the epicenter, which is Manhattan, and you can start posting your stories right now to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, and we'll take some on the air coming up in the next hour. Again, it's your anecdotal census, a people's history of the New York City area from 2000 to 2010. And our question on the table for today is, how has your Manhattan community changed in ways that mattered in the last 10 years? You can start posting your stories right now to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And speaking of stories and quality storytelling, we'll spend a few minutes here with David Isay, founder of the Oral History Initiative, StoryCorps. He's got a new book just in time for Mother's Day. It's called Mom, A Celebration of Mothers from StoryCorps. Hi, Dave. Welcome back to WNYC.
Brian, great to be here.
And as always, when Dave comes on the show, he brings some clips from the StoryCorps booth, which is where ordinary people go, usually with their loved ones, very frequently with their moms, to do personal oral history interviews. So for this first clip, Jerry Johnson of Detroit and his mother, Carrie Conley. Is there anything we need to know before we listen to it?
Yeah. Carrie Conley was a single mom. She brought up six kids in Detroit. She worked as a tray girl in a hospital in Detroit delivering food to patients, and Jerry wanted to bring her to the booth to honor her.
I cannot remember one Christmas that I didn't feel like I was the luckiest kid in the world, even though now I realize we had hardly anything in terms of money. How'd you hold that together?
Well, you know, we got one sick day a month, and if I was sick, I would still go to work. I was saving those days for Christmas, and at Christmas time, then they would pay me for those days. And you know, at around the 1st of December, all the rich peoples, they would clear out their children's toy chests, and they would take all these nice toys to the Salvation Army, and I would go there. And I would get me a huge box, and I would go around and pick out nice toys. And I would get that for a couple of dollars. And then I would use the other for fruit and for food. And so it seemed like we had a big Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But I never did tell you it was a Santa Claus, because I said that I cannot give no man credit for what I'm working.
I know I speak for the rest of the kids who aren't here in telling you how much we love you and how much we appreciate the sacrifice that you went through and the guidance and leadership that you are teaching us. And I think it's helping us all be better parents.
You know, my whole heart was my kids. And the Lord blessed all of them. And I'm so grateful.
Very touching. But you don't lay guitar music under everybody's stories, right?
No, that's just a little extra.
That's for the NPR
touch.
Production.
Exactly, yeah.
What did you learn sifting through all these mother stories? And we'll hear another one in a minute. I mean, you know, in a way, somebody could say, well, this is very touching, and I'm sure there are a lot of very, you know, wonderful stories in here. But what can we learn from a book about moms that we don't already know?
That's a great question. And, you know, and I have to say, it's this book is very much like our moms. You know, some of the stories are funny, some are tragic. You know, it's just like I hope StoryCorps is, it's authentic and it's real. You know, my mom, who's the book editor for many years and my first reader and can be a fierce critic, said that for her, you know, reading the book, each story was kind of like climbing a staircase, and each story took her one step closer to kind of understanding the full breadth of this incredible thing she's done to be a mom. You know, I think I have a 2-year-old kid, so as a dad, you know, reading this book is amazing, because it's this in many ways StoryCorps is this, you know, wisdom project. And we're collecting the wisdom of humanity. So it's teaches me so much, kind of from the, you know, everything that moms have learned, the fierce devotion and the love. So it's and you know, I asked the facilitators who are in the booth with these moms having these intense experiences, collecting the wisdom of humanity out on the road for months at a time, you know, what it's like for them to listen to these stories. And, you know, they said that at the end of the day, they would often get on the phone and pick up the phone and call their mom and call their dad and say, thank you and I love you. And that's kind of the feeling that I got picking this book up a couple of weeks ago after it came out. You know, you have this 9-month hiatus after you write a book. And, you know, I picked up the phone and called my mom and said, I love you.
Your facilitators must go home from work crying like every day. Of course, not all the memories are entirely sentimental or easy on mom. Here's part of an interview with Nancy Wright in Gainesville, Florida. She's talking to her son, J.D.
When I was about 30, we were together, and it was just a miserable weekend. I felt our relationship was awful. And I told her right before I left that I couldn't deal with that kind of criticism anymore, and it wasn't helping me. And she said that that's what mothers do. And I said I didn't need a mother anymore. I needed a friend, that if she wanted to continue to try and be my mother that way, that I didn't want that, but to call me if she wanted to be my friend. She was very angry and upset, and I kind of almost didn't expect to hear from her because she could be a little stubborn. It's kind of a family trait. And I think about 2 weeks, though, after that conversation, I picked up the phone one day and a kind of small voice said on the other side, hi, this is your friend. And it was. And we stayed friends until she died.
And that story from the StoryCorps booth. Anything you want to reflect on that about?
I didn't hear where it ended exactly because we were chatting.
But oh,
I know
she said, "Hi, this is your friend."
Yeah,
it was, and we stayed friends until she died.
We, you know, one of the things that I've been on book tour for the last couple of weeks, and in the story in the book, Nancy talks about her mom, about how she would give these huge tips wherever she went. They called them Francis Guy Erickson tips. And when her mom died, they went out for a meal and gave this, you know, wildly big tip in honor of her mom. And I've actually found myself kind of cutting back on expenses and leaving these huge tips everywhere I go, which is actually feels very, very good. So every story kind of leaves you with something.
What percentage of all StoryCorps interviews are between parents and children?
You know, I don't know. There are a lot. But I think that, you know, when we were thinking about what our first theme book would be, it was a no-brainer that it would be about moms. I mean, moms, we've done 30,000 interviews with about 60,000 people because people come in pairs. Moms are talked about all the time. But I think at many times it's intergenerational, someone bringing a parent in. Other times it's people coming in to remember their moms. And if you combine those two topics, it's a good, you know, 20-30% of those interviews.
To remember their mom? So somebody might come in with, say, a sibling, but with the agenda of talking about their mom?
All the time. Probably even more frequently than bringing their mom in for an interview. We see that constantly.
Fascinating. Are there questions? I know one of the things that you do well at StoryCorps is that you have lists of suggested questions.
Yeah.
And these are just menus that people can choose from. This is not, you know, any programming of the people who come in. This would be probably, I'm guessing, because so many people say, gosh, I really like the idea of coming into a booth like this with one of my loved ones and recording interviews with them for posterity, but I don't know what to ask.
Yeah. And we do. And as you know, preparing for an interview makes all the difference in the world. We actually released this morning our first iPhone app, which gives you instructions on how to do these interviews and has scores of questions. You know, what the facilitators say to participants when they come into the booth is ask that question you've always wanted to ask, because those 40 minutes go by very quickly. We have kind of the 10 best, most asked questions up on our website on this iPhone app and hundreds of others. But the real question you want to ask is what you've always wanted to know. And as you know, the microphone gives you the license to have these conversations you just don't normally get to have.
Let's do one more mother-related clip from the StoryCorps booth. This is Jose Cruz talking to his daughter, Grace, about his mother, so Grace's grandmother. Jose grew up in the Dominican Republic while his mother was in New York earning money for the family. He recalls what he felt when he finally got to join her.
My mother wrote often about what she was experiencing here in New York City. And as a child, I used to look at those postcards my mother would send. Mm-hmm. I always imagined that I would live in those postcards. So when I heard that I was coming to New York, I was in seventh grade, and I thought I was going to be living in the Empire State Building. But we lived in West Harlem. And instead of living in the Empire State Building, we lived in a basement with the front windows looked into a space where people put their garbage. But at the same time, I finally was living with my mother, and I felt so good.
Nice of Jose to bring the whole band with him to the StoryCorps booth. He thought he was going to live in the Empire State Building. I wonder how many immigrants had that fantasy.
Yeah, you know, it just speaks the when you read Jose's story. I mean, it's poetry on the page. It's just beautiful, and that's what you see in all these stories. But I want to say that, you know, we've done, as I said, 30,000 stories, and there are some that have this kind of universal quality that are appropriate for broadcast or appropriate for a book, but all of the stories are equally valuable to
us. And
I
gather that Jose is going to be among those with you tonight for a reading at the Barnes & Noble, 82nd and Broadway at 7 o'clock?
Yeah, we're going to have a bunch of people from the book. It should be really fun.
And we have a few seconds left. You also have StoryCorps' first animation, I understand.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Yes.
What do you do? Animate people crying with their sisters?
For radio people, it's kind of shocking that we'd go visual. But people have always asked us about cameras in the booth, and I've always said no. But we came up with the solution for making these StoryCorps stories even more magical, which is animating them. And this was a facilitator who worked at StoryCorps who came into my office a year ago and said, my brother and I have done this. And I popped this thing in the CD, in my DVD player, and this beautiful animation came out. And I know it's on the NYC website.
Yes, on our page. So listeners, you can see it at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Dave Isay's new book, Mom, A Celebration of Mothers, from StoryCorps. And again, the reading, including some of the participants at 82nd and Broadway's Barnes & Noble, 7 o'clock tonight. Dave, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.